Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenters for this week, Ava Rutzel and myself, John Byrne. Coming up on this week's programme, Ava will be speaking to Larissa Boning, who is a German author participating in the International Literature Festival here in Dublin on the 28th of May. I'll be speaking to Paul Newman, Communications Director for Media City in Salford, Manchester, and we'll be finding out about this intriguing location of some of the latest technological developments in media production in Europe. We'll have some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland, and we'll have some great music from France and Spain for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. Ireland continues to perform relatively poorly for the quality of our coastal bathing water. Figures published recently by the European Commission show that bathing water quality here lags significantly behind that in Slovenia, Cyprus, Malta and Greece. However, with 72% of Irish coastal bathing waters rated as excellent, we are ahead of the UK, Latvia, Romania and Finland. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the survey shows our inland water quality is somewhat better.
When we look at it, we can see that Ireland is not amongst the top performers for the quality of coastal bathing water, and the excellent rating we get is behind countries like Greece, Croatia, Spain, Italy and Portugal, but we do somewhat better on inland bathing water quality.
The European Commission has published proposals to eliminate online geo-blocking. The practice of geo-blocking prevents consumers in one EU state from buying certain goods in another European country where they are sold at a cheaper price. Latest figures show that the value of retail e-commerce in the EU in 2014 was €307 billion. Martina Nee of the European Consumer Centre in Dublin says if the proposals are adopted by all member states, it will bring many benefits to EU consumers.
The regulation will hopefully put a stop to consumers being discriminated against based on where they live. Traders will no longer be able to automatically redirect the consumer to a website in the consumer's country. And consumers will be able to buy goods from any country website in the EU. So it will open up more choice and more competitiveness.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Hi, this is Eva Rützel for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Today I've got the great pleasure to talk to the German author Larissa Boning. You can listen to her reading on 28th of May at the International Literature Festival. There she will provide insight into a popular book which is called Swallow Summer. Larissa, you will come to Dublin at the weekend to contribute the International Literature Festival. What do you like about the festival and why do you take the chance?
What I really love about being invited is always like a surprise package. I travel to places I often hardly know, or I haven't been to Dublin before, so it's a privilege to just go there and be there, get to know the place, the festival, the atmosphere, the city, of course, the rhythm of the city, yeah, the sound of it all. And what I really enjoy is that literature is the medium that brings together, yeah, all of us. We are in every places in the world. We read, we talk, we love to talk about books, about stories. And this is the atmosphere that is very vivid and very alive in those festivals.
All right. You and another German-speaking author will read for us on 28th of May, and the event is called New Writing in German. Do you know why it is called like this?
Yeah, I think I'm still summarized with the new writing in German, or younger writing. I'm not young anymore. I'm in the beginning of my 40s, but I don't know why, but I still count to that kind of group, and I think Anne Cotton, in a way, it's the same with her. We are reading together at that night. And it's some kind of it's a way to separate new German literature from literature of the 70s, the 60s, and the 50s, where of course there was a different tone and a different topics in German literature.
Okay, and what can we expect from the event? The most important question, actually.
Just a glimpse into what we think about, what our life reality is. Of course, this feeling is living in Berlin, bringing a little Berlinerish air up to Dublin.
Okay.
And but of course, this is what I bring with, and so you get a glimpse into this perspective that we have on our lives, our city, our Germanness, our being German.
Okay. And what is your book Swallow Summer about? Or maybe what is your favorite story? Because it's a kind of mixed book where different stories are.
Yeah, it was written, and it is quite a long time ago I wrote it. It was my debut. And it was very much under the feeling of totally being lost. What do I want to do? Where am I? Who am I? What is life about? Do I want a family or do I want to be alone? Do I want to be creative or do I just want a job, get some money? And all these questions, they don't change very much. Actually, they're all the time the questions of growing up, getting an adult,
yes,
coming of age stories very much. And the one I'm reading is the one I like most. It's very close to my own family story.
Oh, really?
And, and it's a German Russian little episode kind of thing, and I still really like it. Every time I read it again, I think it's okay. It's I made a point.
And who do you want to read with the book? Do you have a special target group?
I didn't write it under that aspect those days.
Okay.
I really wrote it out of this confusion, out of those questions I had to myself, and I really wrote it into the blue, and this is the kind of free spirit that is still in the book for me, in a way.
Okay. How would you describe your style of writing?
Actually, it changes in the moment. I wrote those three family multi-generation books, which had big historical parts, and now I switched my topic, and with it it switches my style, in a way, switches, gets more shortcut, more precise, more less historic, less traveling through time, and more being in the here and yet, in the now and here. Focusing on the questions of our looking for ourselves, our self-empowerment as women, our need for that we want it all, that we want to use the chances that we have. And so it's getting a little less drama. This is what I would say.
Okay. And do you have already plans for your next books?
Actually, I'm very much in it. It's always a very strong and intense process. And I can just say my head is full of it and my heart is full of it. And I want to write it down.
Do you have a website where we can get more information about you and about your new books?
Yes, I have an author website, but the website I would rather recommend, yeah, to get to know me as a person is my blog. I have a blog. It's called, the translation would be Saying Goodbye to Illusions, or, yeah, Goodbye Illusions. That would be, that's the title of it in German, Abschied von den Illusionen.
Okay.
It's on WordPress, and I write every day. I write a little Sprachfoto. That's a thing a Swiss photographer invented when he didn't have his camera with him, and he traveled a lot. And then he thought, okay, I make a little photo just with my pencil and a sheet of paper. And so this is those little language photos that I do every day under the big theme, yeah, saying goodbye to one's own illusions.
Okay, what is the address of the blog again?
Abschied von den Illusionen.de.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us on Europe Today.
Thank you very much for the interview.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So finally, I want to invite all our listeners to the event New Writing in German, which will take place in City Wall Space in the Dublin City Council Civic Office in Woodkey on Saturday, the 28th of May 2016.
Hoy me pregunto qué será de ti. Te tuve cerca y ahora estás tan lejos. Pero prohibirme recordar lo nuestro es imposible, no me perdono, sé que te perdí, pero expiraron los remordimientos, fui dictador y el no dejarte ir debe haber sido mi primer decreto. 4 años sin mirarte, 3 postales y un bolero. 2 meses y me olvidaste y ni siquiera me pensaste. Un 29 de febrero andan diciendo por la calle que solo le eres fiel al viento, el mismo que nunca hizo falta para levantar tu falda cada día de por medio. ¿Cómo te atreves a volver? Si te vas a ir, tantas mentiras que al final no veo. Nunca fui bueno para distinguir, al fin y al cabo siempre me las creo. 4 vidas me juraste, 3 te odio y 1 te quiero. 2 consejos para darte, prefiero ser un cobarde que olvidarte de primero.
Diciendo por la calle
que solo le eres fiel al viento,
que solo le eres fiel al viento,
el mismo que nunca hizo falta para levantar tu falda cada día de por medio.
¿Cómo te atreves a volver?
Pero sigo vivo, Contigo yo me acostumbré a perder. Mi corazón funciona sin latir.
¡No! ¿Cómo te atreves a volver?
¿Cómo te atreves?
Running high on the charts in Spain at the moment, that's a track called Como Te Atreves, and that's by singer Morat.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Media City UK is a 200-acre property development based on the media industry located in Salford Quays in Salford, Greater Manchester, England. It is being developed by a partnership of the Central Salford Urban Regeneration Company, Peel Holdings and Salford City Council. The main tenant upon initial completion will be the BBC at its new 12,500-metre BBC Centre, and it's hoped that other media-related companies will join them. And on the line now to tell us a little bit more about this emerging new city is Head of Communications with Peel Media, Paul Newman. Paul, thanks for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Paul, the first question I was going to ask you is, why did the powers that be decide on Salford Docks as the location for Media City?
Well, this goes back some years. You may recall about 2005, the BBC were looking for a new base in the north of England, and there was a competitive process, a bidding process, that eventually settled on two potential bidders, one in the centre of Manchester, one down here at Salford Quays, and there was a consortium involved in the bid for Salford Quays, led by Peel Holdings, a private company whom I work for, along with Salford City Council, the Regional Development Agency, and the Urban Regeneration Company in Salford, who were all putting forward a proposition for a much broader media city concept rather than simply building some new offices. So the BBC decided to opt for that particular route, and that was the catalyst for starting building here in 2007, and we're now at the point where, you know, most of the buildings are actually completed and we're ready for occupation during 2011.
What's happening there at the moment? Is there production going on at the moment?
Well, there's production going on anyway in a place called the Pie Factory, which is a building here that was indeed a pie factory going
right
back some years, and
okay,
we've converted it into a production factory. And we've got 26 occupiers here, all media-related, making a number of BBC and ITV productions. I've just been making the Christmas edition of the Royal Family, which may be popular with
indeed
some of your listeners. And then across the wider development, because it's a city, a true city, in as much as we've got a Holiday Inn hotel here, we've got 400 apartments, residents are now moving in. We've got three buildings that will be occupied by the BBC. They're the buildings that the BBC is leasing from Peel. We've also got the University of Salford with 1,500 students due to move in 2011. And we've also got a huge range of HD television studios and two audio studios, which will be operational from January. So from our perspective as the owner and developer of the site, we are looking forward to becoming truly operational through next year.
And how many people were involved in the construction, Paul? And when will is the final completion date?
Well, around at its peak, around 3,000 personnel involved in the construction. It's across 36 acres, so it's a big piece of land down on the old Manchester docks here. And with a private investment from others of around £650 million, you can see there's an importance to get a commercial return over the next 20 or 30 years. So a lot of people involved in building it, a lot of people also involved in ensuring that the infrastructure is up to spec, from a technical point of view as well, so that if you're a resident here or running a business, you can all get access to 100 meg broadband, which, as you well know, is an important facet of the way people run their lives these days. So we've got the benefit of our own private network, both telephony and broadband, which we believe is a key to the way people run their lives at this time.
How far in advance of technological developments were people thinking when they were developing the whole infrastructure there?
it's a very good point. I think it's probably difficult to put it in terms of years, but I think future-proofing, as it's called, has been obviously a big challenge, certainly within the studios where obviously we're using the latest HD technology because that's what the industry requires. We've got to be cognizant of the fact that we need compatibility across the media industries so that they can all use the facilities here, because whilst we have a contract with the BBC to supply studios, we also want to encourage, of course, commercial operators, whether it's ITV or Sky or whoever, to use the facilities here. So we went through quite a lengthy process ensuring compatibility across the industry. And also from a technical point of view, as I've just been telling you about, the broadband infrastructure is second to none. But it's not just about technical. I think there's also the specification around sustainability, because we want the right sort of environment here. We don't want to be sapping the power that is required in this part of the world. So as part of the development, we've got our own power plant, which will supply up to 25% of the power supply across the development. And we'll use, for example, the water in the ship canal we'll use for the cooling and heating mechanisms across the development. And we believe that's a suitable approach to sustainability targets in the future as well.
And was the term the digital spectrum, was that bandied about much, Paul, in the whole development? Are people obviously conscious of the whole digital rollout across the media industries?
Well, absolutely. And I think also, there are a number of key sectors across the industry that would like proximity to key commissioners like the BBC. So
indeed,
if I'm a web developer, as you say, or if I'm somebody involved in digital content, well, I want the ability to be next to a commissioner. The BBC are relocating, one of the departments they're relocating is their future media and technology department, which is next generation iPlayer, mobile distribution of content, etc., etc. So all those future developments are clearly critical, as you say, to the future of the media industry per se. And a lot of smaller companies are already involved in the supply chain, feeding the beast, as it were. And, you know, we believe that having proximity and the ability to collaborate on one site is one of the unique propositions around Media City UK.
And the last thing I was going to ask you, Paul, is it possible at this stage, I know it's early stages yet and it's early days yet, is it possible for people to take a tour of Media City UK at the moment?
Well, a tour is probably a slightly grandiose description. I mean, the actual public realm area and the tram stop is open, the Holiday Inn is open, so people are already staying
here.
And people are already living here, so there's absolutely nothing to stop people coming down here. Quite the reverse. We're happy to encourage.
But you wouldn't have, public wouldn't have access to the studios and stuff like that?
Not yet.
Yeah.
John,
okay.
No.
Yeah. Okay. But that's something that's foreseeable in the future?
Absolutely, yeah.
With a bit of luck indeed, yeah. Okay, Paul, you might give us some of the details that people can click onto maybe just to find out a little bit about it. If you can give us your website details there or any affiliates there that you might think people would be interested in.
Yes, absolutely. More details, very easily obtainable from www.mediacityuk.co.uk.
And it's quite a comprehensive website as well, Paul, isn't it? I mean, it's very interesting. It'll keep you occupied for a couple of hours for sure anyway.
Well, absolutely. I think it's a good bit of bedtime reading on your PC.
Paul, the best of luck to everybody there in Peel Holdings, and onwards and upwards for what was once called the dirty old town of Salford there, and congratulations to everybody involved in Media City UK.
Thank you, John.
J'ai vu tes peurs.
As French-Canadian artist Coup de Perrette riding high in the French charts this week. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, we want to say a very, very special thank you to Larissa Boning, the German author participating in the International Literature Festival on May the 28th here in Dublin. Also, a very special thank you to Paul Newman, Communications Director for Media City in Salford, Manchester. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme Europe Today.